State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the driving to work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my
new series, Parrish.
My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Oh, yeah. We got us one today, brother.
We got us one today.
Talk about legends.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
That's all I love.
Come on, man. Mm-hmm.
That's all I love.
You changed the game in so many ways, bro.
Most
definitely. We got to save it for the podcast. I got stuff I want to hear. I'm going to wait. Yeah.
What you want to hear? We got to play some classics before we get into this.
Oh, I mean, it don't matter. No.
That one.
There we go.
Yeah. All right, bet. Nothing but them classics, man. You got to do that. You got to do that hip hop when it was that real shit.
You little bum, I'll take the cake. So with the new cast, who you be fucking with?
I mix it up, like, cause we, you know, just being around the guys and shit, everybody always putting us up on something new, man. We just had a young guy, Primo Rice, come through here, though. He dope. You know, Currency and Larry June and all of those guys, man. I try to find something I like from everybody that's out. At least one. I feel like everybody got at least one. I feel like a lot of the songs, they got their place. Party music, you know, and then you party bullshit, then you got your ups and downs and socially conscious and the music with a message. So I try to have different genres at all times playing.
Well, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about hip hop. It can have so many different vibes, so many different dynamics, you know, whether it's some party shit, some gangster shit, some love shit, you know, whatever, some conscious shit, you know, it can have so many different dynamics to it, man.
Any of the young guys ever hit you and be like, OG, I need you on this one?
Not in a minute. Nah, not in a minute. Like every once in a blue moon, like someone like y'all, I guess up and coming might ask. But you know, like what they sending me, it's like, you know, it's like, nah, you don't want me on that, man. I'm like, trust me, you don't want me on that.
Some of that shit would just be interesting to hear you on, though.
Yeah, no, nah, I mean, I did one with White Shadow, Lady Gaga's DJ. I did one with me and Trinidad James. I mean, it's doable. I mean, but I mean, that was, I think, more, I guess, more trap than drill.
Word.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look that one up. Big Daddy Kane on some trap shit.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, another.
Trinidad James, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
You got some young cats you rock with out here?
Nah, I mean, you know, I mean, I've been saying J. Cole for a minute, but everybody be like, nah, I'm a fucking young no more.
Like, all right. So, you know how this game goes. These motherfuckers, if you ain't goddamn 18, you old to them motherfuckers, so.
So, I mean, other than that, I guess probably only ones that I can really think of would probably be Lady London.
Lady she crazy. Okay. She go crazy. Lady London.
She cool. Oh,
yeah. Shit, I like Doja Cat, I ain't gonna lie.
Really?
That's who I went out with y'all wilding out. Doja Cat was still.
Okay. She rap, I guess she do both. She everything. R&B, pop, hip hop.
So it ain't hip hop today.
Well, I mean,
it's hip pop.
Okay, so like what did you call Hammer and Vanilla Ice?
I was born in 88.
Throw that out there. Nah, I ain't gonna. Okay.
Definitely throw that out there before we even get started. Nah.
He was warming it up in 89. He was.
Right.
Smooth out.
They were warming up your bottle, right?
So you saying you're not familiar with Hammer of Vanilla Ice?
Oh. So when I was a kid, and that was my age around that time, and I was coming up, I looked at it as hip hop, but then it got to the point where I was like, oh, this pop. But I'm also a kid at that stage. So now looking back, I'm like, oh, that's more pop music. Like, cause it just got taken by that and that's kind of what it rocked with.
But I mean, you know, there was artists back then in the 80s that had that whole pop. I mean, like Hammer, like shit was like real pop. Vanilla Ice, Tone Loc.
Tone Loc.
Yeah. So. Funky Cold Medina and all that stuff, yeah.
Okay. J-O-N, we gotta get it started. Let's do it. Play the music. Play me some Pimpin' Man. We got a very special guest in the house with us today. I want to bring number legends through here.
Ooh, big legends.
Number big legends coming through.
Big legend.
Hood legends, ghetto legends.
Pioneers.
Ghetto superstars. Black excellence.
Come on, man.
That's what we on today, man.
Come on, man.
We know how to celebrate.
Come on, man.
Our anniversary.
Yeah.
50 years of hip hop. So we went and got an official, legit hip hop pioneer.
Come on, man.
From one of my favorite crews of all time.
What?
The Juice Crew.
What?
You already know who it is. You look in there, you like, oh, no, they didn't. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
This is a real
hip-hop
legend, man. If you ain't never seen one of the coolest brothers to ever spit on the microphone, ooh, then you might not know that we got Big Daddy Kane in there with us today, man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a big salute.
We got a salute, bro.
Come on,
man.
Yes, man.
Yes.
Back. It's an honor and a privilege to have you in here with us today.
Nah, glad to be
here. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. An icon. Put it down. Made me want a chain this big.
Come on, man.
Bro, when y'all was playing cards in the video and you won the chains, I was like, man, he already got a chain. He don't need that chain. Damn, he don't need that chain.
That's how you do it on the head. He taking it out, man. Hey.
Yeah. Bro, you always been one of the coolest, man. Like, you always had spit your rhymes and you never fucked them up. It sound just like you was listening to the CD and you still hitting the dances at the same time. So you get another salute just for that. It take a lot to rap that shit that you rap, the way that you rap it, and jump in and hit the dance move. Perform. Come on, man.
Perform it.
Fall back, get caught, get back up.
Man.
On some hip hop James Brown type shit.
That's what we trying to do.
With the
too.
Perfect flat top.
Come on, man.
That's what we trying to do too, yeah.
These kids can't dance longer than 15 seconds. You see them with the little TikTok, that quick, that's all they can do.
Come on, man.
This man has spit a whole album and hit all that shit.
The whole show.
In Breath Control, but on the sound.
Appreciate
come
it,
on,
man.
Bro.
Appreciate it.
Now,
appreciate
I don't think people look at the technical aspects enough. I think we too quick to like be like, oh, well, we ain't on that no more. Like the young people, if y'all go back and like just look and see, like, yeah, you was definitely a game changer.
Well, I mean, that's what it's really all about, you know, just really studying your craft, studying your history, so you know how to better your future.
Yeah.
You know, what I was doing back then, I was studying James Brown, I was studying Marvin Gaye, Barry White, you know, several others, you know, and trying to bring elements from soul and R&B into hip hop that no one had seen before. Because,
yeah.
You know, pretty much everybody from the generation prior to mine was basically, I guess, following what Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five did, you know.
Right.
The era before me would be like the LL, Houdini, Run DMC, you know, they were like following what, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five was doing, you know, those type of cats, Treacherous Three and those dudes. You don't know who the hell I'm talking about, do you? It's all good, though. It's all good, though.
You zoned out, didn't
you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, nah.
You zoned out.
But I know you know.
No. Listen, I just spit the names. I just spit the names. You can look them up later.
Houdini. I was like, who the fuck?
No, yes, you know, yeah,
Houdini.
I spit the
name. I heard Houdini.
No, because you be playing the song. The freaks come out at night. That's
my ringtone.
Yeah.
Well, shit, at least you're paying them.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know who they are, at least you're paying them. I respect that.
Now, people always talk about how great of a lyricist you are. I always wanted to ask you, like, who was your inspiration? Who showed you how to rap? Or who did you hear rap that made you say, shit, I want to do that?
Back then, there was a group called the Cold Crush Brothers.
Most definitely.
And I wasn't even Kane then. I was actually using Tony T. Yeah, this is 82, you know? And when I first heard them, and I heard this cat, Grandmaster Caz, you know, and he was like, Grandmaster Caz, captain of the four. Another nigga couldn't touch me if he had a rhyme store, even if he had a plant manufacturing of rhymes. They couldn't make them no better than I make mines. I was like, yeah, I'm doing my shit all wrong, you know? Like, and I'm like, yeah, I need to start all over because I'm not that nice.
Mm.
And that's who really inspired me, you know? Yeah.
Shout out to Grandmaster Caz.
Yeah. That's kind of where you took the bragging shit of just, you know, talking the shit about you being better than another MC.
Yeah, I mean, Kaz, like, his sarcasm was like that shit you hear in the barbershop or the pool hall.
Okay.
You know, he had that type of sarcasm,
yeah,
you know?
Like talking that
I'm
shit.
6'1½", no good at math, say rhymes to myself when I'm taking a bath. Got true clientele, finesse, and clout, and I don't get into shit that I can't get out. You know, that type of, you know, so if the sarcasm was just, you know,
you know what I mean? Like, what we look at now, like the punchlines, that's kind of like where that kind of came from.
I think Grandmaster Caz was pretty much the first all around dope MC. Like, to me, and I say this repeatedly until eternity, Melly Mel is the most important MC in hip hop.
Mm.
Because prior to him, it was always about the DJ. You know, Flash and the Furious. You know, Charlie Chase and the Coke. It was always about the DJ, and then he would have an MC. Once Melly Mel started becoming lyrical, where now you're listening to what the MC's saying. He not just dip, dip, die, and on and on and on. He's actually spitting some bars.
Talking
you know what I'm saying? It's like what he patterned in 77 is pretty much what the blueprint for every MC up until about 2013, you know, when the Migos, I think, changed it to something different, you know? But I mean, yeah, I think he's the most important MC, but he had his one particular style. Caz was that dude that just pretty much could just, you know, do everything great. You know, he was like lyrical when it came to the conscious stuff, lyrical when it came to the battle stuff, lyrical when it came to girls. Like the first girl rhyme, first girl rhyme I heard was something from him called Yvette.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
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 I wanted to ask, what would be your definition of a sucker MC? That's one of my favorite phrases from hip hop in all time.
Well, you know, back then you had sucker MCs, and you had biting MCs, you know? And you had whack MCs, you know? The whack MC was the dude with the real corny rhymes that, you know, nobody wanted, you know? The sucker MC, you know, was the dude, you know, like pretty most of the time had someone writing for him. You know what I'm saying?
They had writers back then too.
Come on,
you
know? Man.
And then the biting MC was the one that was biting, like a rhyme I heard you say at a party, I said at another party next week. That was the biting MC.
Oh.
Sucker MC.
Sucker MC. So the nigga here sucker MC and he know what it is.
Yeah.
He like, Nah, I made these up.
Yeah, like, you know, like a suck MC, it could be referring to a whack MC, or it could be referring to someone that got someone writing for them.
So y'all didn't respect the nigga having a writer for them?
No.
That's crazy, because you wrote for rhymes for like rappers, right?
Yeah, I wrote for other rappers, But you got to understand, let me explain, though. You're talking about hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? When it's a street culture.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Now we making records. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a real music genre.
Okay.
Right.
And
but see, it's a difference when you're like,
Hit me out. As a music genre, most people, you ask a lot of people, who's their favorite singer? A lot of people will say Luther Vandross. Damn near all his shit was written by someone else.
I did learn that.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he still was one of the greatest vocalists. You know, so because that's, we talk about a music genre. Right. Now, when we talk about hip hop on the street level, yeah, it's like, you know, me and you battling at a party and someone else writing for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's weird.
You just suck MC.
Right.
You know, or you saying a rhyme I heard him say 2 weeks ago, he's a biting MC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like now it's a hip hop is a genre, so it's different. You look at it differently now, you know? Yeah.
Man,
that's real though.
Now you gotta give me some of your favorite Juice Crew stories, cause that's a hell of a crew.
Oh man, I mean, Juice Crew, there's so many moments, you know, watching when Mr. Magic get high. When Magic get high, he the funniest person on the planet. he curse everybody out. You know, F you're not down no more. He was one of the funniest dudes on the planet. And then, you know, Biz, you know, rest in peace, man.
Like, nobody beats the Biz.
Y'all have worked with him before, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
So, you know, it's like Biz the type of dude where, you know, you're looking at, you know, his features and you just see an easy win till he starts snapping.
Right.
And then you see you in for a long night.
Because
he got jokes galore.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, you know, you look at Biz, you be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna tear his ugly ass up. And guess what?
He on you.
He tear you up, tear you out the frame.
Man, that's Biz came and do Wildin' Out and he stayed like the whole week. He did like all the episodes. Cause you know him and Nick were real cool.
You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Biz, like real talk, man.
Word.
Yeah. Yeah, I started rapping in 82 and I used to go around everywhere, you know, battling everybody. Couldn't get a record deal, sent in demos, even met with, I think it was Nia Records, you know, everything to try to get a deal, couldn't get on. And then I end up meeting this dude that my man had been bragging about for the longest. I was sick of him telling me about him. He told me dude was across the street. I go and meet Biz, ask him for a battle. After the battle, he was like, yo, you dope. You need to get down with me, man. I do a lot of shows in Harlem, Bronx. If you get down with me, I promise you one day I'm gonna get a record deal. And as soon as he got on, he put me down and got me a record deal.
What was your reaction to that verse on Vapors when he told the Big Daddy Kane story?
I wrote it.
Yeah, of course. But I'm saying that, I know you wrote it, but the way he delivered that shit, it was so, you know, colorful and visual.
That, you know, because it's like, I kind of did in my style a little bit. You know, I had some of his elements in there, but that was kind of like, Nobody Beats the Biz would probably be my favorite.
That shit's so
cause
cold.
That's Biz,
yeah.
You understand me?
Yeah.
Like that's Biz like saying, yo, I want it to be like zooka 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 zian, a zooka zooka. Now that's what the fuck I got to go off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, we got, you know me as a B-I-Z-M-A-Y-K-Y-E-N. I go for what I know do on the show. It's like, but it's like, this is all biz style. This is all, like, you know, I just want the stutter step that I want to zooka 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 zooka. And that's what he's giving me.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I
just like that was, yeah. Just telling you
that's
that.
All. Just mumbling shit.
Just the cadence.
No real words.
Yeah. Just, he
just okay. Zooka 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 zooka. And that's what he's telling me.
Right.
And now he's like, yeah. And he's like, and then, you know, I'm half Swan sing the Nobody Beats the Wiz, but say Nobody Beats the Biz. You know, and it was like, you know, like that. Like that one I think was the most amazing. And then Picking Boogers. Mm. You know, like stuff where I know that I would never ever do for myself.
Yeah.
Right.
He taking me out of my comfort zone, you know, put something together for him. I know I would never write a song called Picking Buggers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, yeah. Yeah.
So you penning all this dope ass shit. Like, what was your proudest moment as a writer? Like, some shit you helped create?
I think my proudest moment may have came after Have a Nice Day with Shantae. Because, you know, me and KRS was boys, you know, we was tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wanted something on there taking shots at them. And, you know, I wrote the song for Shantae. And then I talked to Chris and I'm like, yo, just let you know, I wrote this joint for Shantae. And, you know, I took some jabs at you and Scott. And he like, you know.
I'm tell you, but hey, man.
Yeah. But no.
I just wrote some cold ass shit.
I want you to hear it first.
But soon as I didn't play it for him. I didn't play it for him. I just gave him the heads up. But when he heard it, you know, he reached out and was laughing. He like, yo, man, you know the KRS, that was my graph name. But I'm sitting here listening to this Shantae song. I'm like, damn, it does sound like a whack radio station. And he's laughing, you know, he's laughing about this shit, you know? I mean, that's my dude, you know what I mean? So he was laughing about it. You know, like that was, I was like, okay, this was KRS approved, okay. So we still cool.
That's hard.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah.
We got to have us.
So y'all ain't never had no beef about it. Like, and no. You think that's just probably because you reached out like that to
me. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, you know, you understand, you know, while in the midst of all this here Juice Crew, BDP stuff that's going on with him and Shan, you know, this dude and his wife at the time, Miss Melody, rest in peace, they helped me move out of my mother's crib, you know, into my first apartment, you know. So, you know, we was tight like that, you feel me?
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
But it seemed like it wasn't that many of y'all, so y'all had to run in them same circles, man, like, almost. Like, you know, like, the overlap is crazy. Like,
well,
you said
you know,
battle biz.
Yeah, yeah. My man used to tell me about him all the time, a Long Island dude that was dating my cousin. All the time, that's all I'm hearing. Oh, you got to hear my man Biz Markie. I was so sick of him telling me about this dude, man. And one day he just said he crossed the street, you know, yeah.
All right, I gotta ask you this, because you know I love some old school cars and shit like that, man. Who had some of the coldest cars back in the day?
Well, I mean, first I gotta go with Eric B. Because, I mean, you know, Eric had a Rolls back then in 88.
Damn.
88 Rolls?
Yeah, Eric had a Rolls Royce in 88.
What Slick River riding in?
I don't know what Slick Rick had. I know, yeah.
But you know Eric B had that goddamn
role. Yeah, I mean, this is a time of like, you know, where, you know, you balling hard in a 300 Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just the three.
Royce, that's right. Some Mike Tyson type shit.
And it was just foreign. You know, for us down south, anything foreign around in the 80s, oh, you doing something now.
But you got to understand, cats was copping Benzes, BMs,
okay.
Saabs and
yeah.
Audis and all that. But this dude pulled up in a Rolls in 88. Yeah.
Great Poupon shit.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
In a real kind of way. Yeah.
I gotta ask you this, cause you know, people may forget, but you did do the rapper actor transition.
Mm-hmm.
Start doing some movies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Posse movie.
Come on, man.
Cult classic, man. What was it like working on that shit?
Oh man, it was great. Cause it was like I wanted people to take me serious. And not, you know, look on the screen and see Big Daddy Kane. So it's like when Mario is explaining it to me, he's like, you know, you're a gambler from New Orleans that migrated west, and you're all about the money. You don't really care about none of us. But then you get an attachment to such and such on Little J, and you start really having respect and love for the posse. So he's explaining the role. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I'm learning how to ride a horse. I got thrown about three times, but I finally figured it out. And, you know, I'm, you know, riding horses. And then, like, since he said New Orleans, I knew I didn't have to worry about having a Western accent. So I just went to, you know, spent like 2 weeks with my family down in Bowman, South Carolina, you know. Because, you know, that's where you hear that, where your name is. You know, you know. So I'm down there, you know, just studying the language and trying to get that Southern slang down. And, you know, a lot of people, I think they, you know, they enjoyed the role, you know. And that's what I just wanted them to see me other than Kane.
No, that was definitely, you know, a cowboy. You know, you're going from a rapper to a cowboy, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a big leap.
Well, I mean, with shit. I mean, Kumo D did it in Wild West. Why not me,
yeah,
man?
Most definitely.
You
know?
Yeah.
You was in the first black superhero movie, too, wasn't you?
Media Man, Robert Townsend.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
they don't be trying to give you credit, man. That's the first black superhero movie we had that I could think of.
Yeah, I just get nervous talking about stuff like that about people like him because I had that blonde hair. So I don't know where this conversation was. We rock with it.
Nah, that was one of them ones, though, man.
Appreciate you.
Hell of a career, man. So, do you like he asked earlier? Are you into any of the new school hip hop or shit like that? Are you still involved with the music at all? You still you know, get the urge to write a dope rhyme from time to time?
Oh yeah. Now from time to time. Yeah. You know, it's like with music. I love to see it evolve, you know? I feel like after my heyday, what happened with Nas, Biggie, Jay-Z, you know, it's beautiful. What happened
They always show you a lot of love, too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What happened with Jadakiss, Eminem, Ludacris, T.I., you know? I felt like, you know, beautiful, you know? So I love watching it evolve. Now it has a different dynamic to it. But you still have those lyrical cats like J. Cole, Kendrick, Conway, Benny the Butcher, you know. And now you got the new ones like there's some amazing sisters out there, Lady London, Saba the Goddess. I can't think of this other young lady name, but she's a beast too. I mean, and Kaya Baby, this. It's just, you know, so I'm always watching to see how it evolves. You know, it's just that I have to search harder now.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not, you know, getting, the real lyricists don't get mainstream radio play.
Yeah, right.
So I have to search for, but I don't have a problem with it, because that's how it was, you know, when we came out. A lot of us wasn't getting radio play. So you had to search, you know, you'd hear LL record, a Big Daddy Kane record, you know, but you had to search to find a King's Son. You had to, you know, search to find, you know, certain lyrical MCs.
But at a certain point when you heard rap, and you was like, this shit ain't it. What they doing with it?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, at the same time, I'm saying this ain't it. I understand, like, you know, when Rapper's Delight dropped, how a lot of people felt about rap, period. You know, coming from, you know, all they hear is R&B. So they're like, y'all ain't doing nothing but talking. That ain't even y'all record. Y'all stole that from Chic. That's Good Times, you know?
So shit been happening from the beginning.
You hear something new and something different.
Hate on.
So it's like, when I hear something, it's like, you know, I just simply say, you know, well, shit, I'm 55, man. This ain't for me. You know, this for the young cats. Let them enjoy it. That's their thing.
Well, you can tell that, you know, the music back in the day had so much substance that the music that only really go crazy today is the ones that they redo. They have to remake music. Like, they still remaking music to this day.
Well, I mean, you know.
Hip hop kind of founded on that almost a little bit with the sample shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You think?
Well, you know, you run out of fresh ideas,
right.
You start remaking stuff. But I will say this, to add on to what you said, my MC hero, Grandmaster Caz, is a statement he made a few years ago, and now I hear a whole lot of people saying it. He said that hip hop didn't invent anything, it reinvented everything.
That's real.
I wanted to ask you this, right? Because you were rapping in the early stages of, you know, development of rap. When did it go from, for you, when did it go from like the boom bap style of the late 70s, early 80s into, you know, the Big Daddy Kane where you flipping words and rapping fast as shit and, you know what I mean, stretching the syllables and all
you
that.
You made this the year before, like, I don't know, bro. Your shit was effortless and it just sounded like.
And you just run through that shit and just go back to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that, like I was saying, in 77, when Melly Mel made it lyrical, that's when now all these MCs got to step their game up. You know, the stuff that you know, DJ Hollywood, Love Bug, Starsky, and them cats was doing. No, you got to be lyrical now. Right. It's not just about party and stuff and call and response. Right. You have to be lyrical. And that's when, you know, you saw the, like, the Grandmaster Caz, Kumo D. There was another brother by the name of DLB, Tito, from the Fearless Four. You started seeing MCs becoming more lyrical, you know. But by the time Run DMC came out a few years later, I think the stuff started, you know, going more into a party phase, you know. And then you had, like, I think, like, Roxanne Shanté, Salt and Pepper. Dougie Fresh in the Show. I think that the show might have been the one that really, really took it to that party. You know, like, this is what we looking for, some party stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the show, that was like a party jam, you know? But then 86, I believe, that's when Rakim came out. Okay. And then KRS. And then right after that was me. And all three of us, you know, like, was just Rakim, KRS, Kool G Rap, and then me.
Okay, Yeah. So y'all like the Mount Rushmore of the style switch.
Of that era. Yeah, I could go with that. Yeah. I wouldn't argue that. Yeah. I could go with that.
That's rap, four, right?
Yeah. A hell of a movie.
Yeah, that's hard. That's real.
Had a hell of a movie.
Yeah, shit, I gotta get me a statue built now.
That shit hard. So, hey, you know we be having so many artists and stuff. Somebody, come on.
Well, I mean, every era has their Mount Rushmore. Matter of fact, I'm curious, like, for you, who would be your Mount Rushmore?
That's a good one. Like, my top, like, just four. All around?
No.
Today?
From your generation.
From my generation? I gotta say Tupac. Nas. Bone Thugs and Harmony as a whole.
Okay.
That's a lot of hair.
No, we get some more hair, bro. Go ahead. One more.
Pimp C.
Okay, yeah, see? You know, that's the beautiful thing about hip hop, man. It's like you can get into this and gravitate to certain artists for so many different reasons.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, for so many different reasons.
I just miss back when it was, when you heard somebody, like, you knew where they were from. I miss that. Like, we knew y'all was from up top. We knew they was from over here. Like, you know, it ain't like that no more. All of it just sound just one sound.
Yeah. I agree with you.
That's why I like West Side Gun, like Griselda and them, like you were talking about. Like, they got that old New York feel, that, you know what I'm saying? I like that.
Yeah.
And they Buffalo, right?
I want to hear that culture over there. Yeah. That New York shit. Like, I like that.
Yeah,
I want to hear it. People in the South always listening to your music, always listening to new fuck with Big Daddy Kane, man. When you were touring and shit, did you come to the South like that?
Yeah. I used to love doing shows, you know, in Atlanta, Mobile.
You didn't do a Freaknik?
Nah.
He did his own Freaknik.
Yeah, he was having, you know, that shit in 88.
You know I'm about to ask you about the Madonna shit. You know I'm about to ask you that. I want to know from you. I got to hear from you. This is one of my childhood dreams. Come to life.
What happened?
What did you want to ask?
Take it from the top. Shit, what you mean that? How did this happen? Who was all over there?
Nah, Warner Brothers has sent us on a promotional tour. It was myself, Madonna, and Color Me Bad. And, you know, we was visiting a lot of upper-class white hospitals, you know. And, you know, the kids that was in there, the kids in intensive care, whatever, you know, they didn't really know who I was. You know, they knew who Madonna was, calling me bad, but they know it. And, like, Madonna was like, and this is Big Daddy Kane. You know, he's a famous rapper. Let me hear you say, ain't, no. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, wow, Madonna know my shit. Wow, that's crazy. And then afterwards, she said that she was doing a book. She was like, well, I'm working on this book. I would, you know, like, you'd be in it. I would be on it. And she was like, well, you know, it's gonna be nude photos. And I was like, well, shit, even better. And we did it. And, you know, I flew down to Miami and we took a bunch of photos, me, her, and Naomi Campbell. And
me, her, and Naomi Campbell.
We were chilling, having sandwiches, taking pictures.
Nah, but yeah, it was just a photo shoot though, that's all. Yeah, there's nothing really extra to tell, man.
Shit, that's enough.
Yeah. What's some of the tour, man? Like, what you remember from just touring? Like when you first set out there, when you kind of knew you was up? Cause touring before you know you got it locked in is different than hitting that road once you know, okay, now I'm here to stay. Like,
it's fun. You know, I mean, the tour bus life, especially, you know, you're young and whatnot, the tour bus life is a lot of fun. Yeah. And then just the energy. Cause it's like, you know, I'm an artist, you're an artist. You know, we gravitate, you know, we probably shooting dice, getting drunk every night, right?
Right.
But, you know, when it's time to hit that stage, though, shit.
Yeah. What you gonna do?
You know, we ain't cool right now.
Yeah.
You know, I got the habit. Huh?
It was competitive like that?
Man, listen, let me tell you something. Eric B. could be at my house Thursday night, and we'll be sitting there in the back room looking at our parents, my father and Eric B.'s father. These dirty-ass old men, they out there on the couch when my pops is looking up the stairs, making sure my moms ain't coming down, telling Eric Pops, go ahead. He ordering Uncle Luke videos on Video Jukebox so they can see some booty shake videos and shit. And me and Eric sitting there laughing at them, crying, laughing at these dudes, right? Friday night come. We got a show somewhere in Providence, Rhode Island, wherever. Eric a smooth walk past my ass like he don't see me. Now we just was together last night, cause we in that zone. It's showtime. I got to have it. Eric a smooth walk past me like he don't see me with his head up, you know? but that's that real hip hop shit though, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Man, this is a clip of you rapping on stage and the fucking mic go out. Then that shit pop back on and you just keep rapping that shit and the crowd went crazy.
Oh, well, you know, that's something that, honestly, that's something we used to do every night, but that's, you know, before internet. So nobody knew. It was like a surprise to everybody in every state that we went to. But then, you know, once I seen the shit pop up on YouTube, I was like, well, we gotta retire that.
Damn. You know, no, yeah. You ain't gotta retire. People still be wanting to see that shit, cause that shit. So you had been doing this.
Yeah. But I mean, it was like, no one knew because, you know, there wasn't, you know, you know, wasn't no social media, wasn't no, you know, nobody was really on the internet like that, you know.
That's hard, man. Welcome back to the 85 South Show. Yeah. None other than Big Daddy Kane. This is beyond me right now, J.O.R. This is crazy. This is unbelievable, man. You gotta give me one of your favorite Biz Markie stories. I just watched you on the documentary. He had a great life. He's a great dude, full of energy and love and light, man. So you gotta give me one of your favorite Biz stories.
I just told one. Like there's so many, but I think probably my favorite one was one night we did a show. I don't know if it was Latin Quarter, some spot in New York. Anyway, though. We did a show and we got some girls in the limo. This is Beeper Days, Sky Pages. That's something. It's
you know
something
what a beeper is?
I know about a beeper.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just trying to keep you with us, player. His beeper went off. He looks at his beeper and he's like, Luther. And the girls, and I'm looking at this dude like, man, don't do this, man. But the girls, they over there like, Biz, you know Luther Vandross? Yeah, man, he want me to beatbox for him at the Garden, but I don't feel like it. I told him, I just let him hold one of my dookie ropes. And I'm just
they believe this shit.
They putting
man.
All like motherfuckers.
Yo, they believe this shit. Like,
fell for
see,
it.
Yeah. You wouldn't, none of y'all wouldn't believe nothing like that if he would have said that in front of you, right?
Right, yeah. But you,
No, man, come on, man.
I'm not believing it. No, I'm not believing it, but I'm saying, baby, I can see some girl going for it.
Yeah, they was excited. They was excited. I'm just sitting there like.
He probably done went and beeped his damn self and came back. Hey,
No. Someone beeped him, but it wasn't goddamn Luther Vandross. You know? But, you know, I'm used to biz tall tales, you know what I'm saying? But this is one of the nights where I'm like, yo, you telling one will. We ain't gonna get no ass at the end of the night. We, you know, trying to convince them that we know Luther Vandross, man. You know?
He went too big.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time the big went up, come on.
Hey, damn, Luther. But that might have been, because, look, back then you couldn't Google
you
nothing.
You lie with Liv.
Yeah, you couldn't Google it.
Prove that you
How you lie. Really gonna look it up? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, hey.
Okay, listen. See, right now, you're used to seeing, Rihanna standing next to Jay-Z and stuff like that. No. Not in my era, man. Is it?
Oh, you saying it?
Hell fucking no, man. Nah, me and Luther wouldn't be in the same. Me and Luther wasn't in the same room until I made a song with Patti LaBelle, man.
Damn, yeah. Right.
We had to connect with Patti.
Right.
You know
mostly
what I'm saying?
I was working for Patty. No. Yes.
Yep. No. You dead ass serious though. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. We both was Patty's plus one. Yeah, me and Ruth though. Yeah.
She's a nice lady.
She's amazing, man. She's amazing.
Have you ever had a Patty pie?
Nah, I don't eat sweets. But she did the day I laid my vocals, she cooked some vegetarian collard greens, mac and cheese, and some fried fish for me. And brought it to the studio.
Yeah. I heard that legendary Patti LaBelle meal is supposed
to be. Oh, she's a beast in the kitchen.
It's heavenly.
Yeah, she's a beast in the kitchen. Yeah. And like when we was on tour together, like I've seen her do stuff where like, you know, she'd get up in first class and go in there fucking with the flight attendants. You're like, no, I need to put a little hot sauce and pull a hot sauce out of her purse. And yeah.
That was back when you could smoke a cigarette on the plane.
Nah. You know what? You might owe me that one. You might. I done took two cheap jabs, so you might owe me that one. You might owe me that one.
That's crazy, man. It's this legendary picture that come up on Throwback Thursday of you getting a haircut, man. Your shit was always tight. Who was your barber back in the day?
First, it was my man Smooth. And then, like once we started, brother from out of Wyckoff Projects. We went to high school together for a brief moment, but you know, my dude Smooth. And then like once we started going on the road, school, my dancer, he was nice with the Clippers too, so then it ended up being him.
That's what's up. Yeah. Wyckoff, that's Queens.
Brooklyn,
okay.
That's crazy. Oh,
did you knew Biggie person?
No, I mean, I met Biggie and the brother that was used to be my DJ and the discovered Biggie, DJ Mr. C, he put us on the phone like twice. Like we talked on the phone twice. But I mean, we didn't really have a relationship. His relationship was with Mr. C. Yeah. But phenomenal MC, man. Yeah, phenomenal
Speaking
MC.
Of Biggie, did you ever think that hip hop would take it this far?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's like, just watching the way people was bashing it, you know, in the beginning, it was like the remnants of rock and roll. It's the same thing they said about rock and roll in the 50s, and you saw what happened with that. So it was like I kind of saw it the same way, you know? Like, okay, something new and revolutionary is coming through that an older generation don't understand. It's going to stick. And it's gonna be
like
powerful.
Rap is the only genre that changes. I don't feel like no other genre changes.
When you say changes, what do you mean?
Change like the agenda they pushing today. Like you really won't be nobody if you're not talking about killing a nigga or some stupid shit like that. Like it's to the point where you got 8-year old kids rapping talking about killing. Like clearly that's
a well, I mean, you know, with rock and roll, you know. With Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Elvis Presley, them is, you know, it started on some party stuff, and then you know it went into psychedelic phase, you know, talking about a lot of drugs and stuff, and then it went into anti-war, and then it went into heavy metal. So I mean, rock and roll did a whole lot of changes too, you know. you know. And that psychedelic phase was about a lot of drugs, you know.
Yeah,
that was rap the other day.
Yeah,
they just went through it. They still going through opioid phase. Nah, I don't know. This shit crazy.
If Future talk about smoking crack.
I don't know if we're ever going to have a rapper that can successfully pull off that one.
Smoke crack.
Smoke crack.
We done had him.
Future can do it.
We done had him.
That just was openly smoking crack?
Not openly.
I'm going to sit this one out.
Hell no, that ain't going to happen. I hope not anyway. Let that shit go. Drug rap though. But you know, they got a lot of different genres of rap right now with, you know, they got pussy rap now. Did you ever think that you would see a whole genre of pussy rap?
Yeah. You know, I mean.
That ain't for my ear.
I think there's a time and a place for everything, you know. Like before hip hop, you know, we had parents that would sit in front of us, clean the house, playing Isley Brothers, the OJs. And then when we go to bed, they throw on Millie Jackson. She's singing, but cursing her ass off, you know?
Most definitely.
And then when we not there, they might throw some Dolemite on, you know?
Dolemite made music?
Party records?
Like Dolemite, you talking about Dolemite?
Yeah. That's why he's here. He needs to be here.
Compare angle and track.
I can't see you.
He made what?
Dolemite.
You talking about Dolemite?
Well, put a candle on my ass and call me a birthday cake. I'd be damned. I'd just be damned.
Nah, he made party records. But yeah, he did try to sing too, but I mean, he mainly party records. But But I mean, you know, it was like all this stuff exists, you know. I just think that the difference is, like I said, that's what our parents played when we went to bed or when we wasn't home, you know.
So the parents got to have some discretion.
Whoa, radio too.
Yeah.
Radio too.
Radio got a job to do. They got to play what they somebody telling them what they do. I don't think they get to pick the music anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about the on air job. Mm. I'm talking about, you know, whoever's running the radio station. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, yeah. Because I mean, shit, that's how it was with us. We had to make a clean version.
If you
had some gangster stuff or some sexual stuff, you had to make a clean version where you're not cursing. You know what I'm saying? You're shooting a video. You got a picture of weed or guns on your shirt. Now you got to take that shit off.
Yeah, get that out of there.
Like my Smooth Operator video, you see Chris Rock in there. You see Al B. Shaw in there. But they completely cut Kadeem Hardison out because I was on Warner Brothers and he had on a t-shirt that said Batman sucks. And that was a Warner Brothers movie.
Damn.
Yeah.
Why he ain't like Batman?
No. Oh, you got to ask for Dan.
That's like, he did that to himself.
Yeah. And we're talking about the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
Okay. Not the new one.
Not the Bruce Wayne.
It's still Bruce Wayne, okay. But not with the whoever is Christian Bale, whoever's playing him now. There was a guy named Michael Keaton.
Okay, that's Lou Ferrigno in.
That's how you know he's lying about his age. He's lying about his age. He knows
some old shit. Man,
he knows some old shit.
Now you had some of the coldest jewelry too, man. Where you used to get your jewelry and shit from?
First,
did you keep any of that shit?
Nah.
Was it a competition with the jury?
Like, most definitely.
Probably.
But y'all had that shit on though.
But see, I got to a point where it was irritating me, you know? Cause with the dancing stuff.
Shit is flat, big ass change.
I come off stage, I got all types of nicks and scratches from where it done bust me in my face and stuff. Yeah. So I didn't, you know. Yeah, he got to a point where I was like, yeah.
Take some of this shit out.
Yeah.
Who had the coldest jury game where you like?
Slick Rick. Slick Rick. Yeah,
of course. Hands down.
Slick Rick, yeah.
Busta after him, Busta Rhymes.
Busta should be chomped up. His necklace was dumb.
Yeah, Busta be having a Busta or Ghostface. Yeah, they be
Ghostface with the
Wonder Woman
cuff with the eagle on it.
Come on, man. Yeah. I don't know how that nigga moved around with that, but it stayed.
Yeah, see, once it started getting uncomfortable, I wasn't really thinking about it no more. You know, it was like, I can't move around and function in this shit, man.
Yeah. How many times you said you got busted?
Every night. Every night I have a new scratch on
you. You stuck it out.
Yeah.
That shit just iconic, though, man.
Cold shit.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You were close to Slick, too, though?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was in his first video, Teenage Love. Yeah. Slick Rick, very unique rapper with an amazing voice, you know. I mean, yeah, I guess he was hip hop version of the Beatles, you know, that European voice that just took America by storm. You know, cause I mean, back then there was a whole lot of rappers that tried to use that European accent to come out with records. You know.
After Slick Rick?
After Slick Rick, yeah, yeah.
Oh man, stop.
We gotta find that shit.
Yeah.
All the failed rappers who didn't do it with the accent.
Polly Dolly.
Polly Wally. Polly Wally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cause I was gonna say y'all like.
Hey, my Slick Richard, yeah? Slippery Richard.
Yeah, nah, Rick took the world by storm, man. I mean, it was like he was already a dope MC, but that voice though, just you know, took it to a whole nother level, man.
Yeah, cause you like it's almost like y'all at the opposite end. You got the deep, smooth shit.
My voice was much higher then. My voice like I think when I turned 20, my voice changed.
That's when it dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
But Slick Rick was always a little high register, like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, he had a different vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
He got a British son. He was just talking about
he that. He does. He got a British son, man. What your son said, were you?
Toilet, daddy, quickly.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Nah, but I mean, his British slang was different than American slang, you know, where we might say, you know, trash, Rick call you crumbs, you know?
He does crumbs at the end of the song. That's what he was saying, bro.
We say we gonna destroy, you know, whatever, and he would say, I'm gonna conquer you. You know, so it was like, he was just so unique. His shit was like just so unique and different, man, yeah.
King Asiatic, nobody's equal.
Yes, sir.
How did you come up with that?
5%, you know, dealing with the 5% nation. You know, that was the attribute I chose, you know. Well, I mean, really it was just King Asiatic. But in the rhyme, I said nobody's equal. And then from that point, everybody just kept saying it. So, yeah, I just, you know, but it's really just King Asiatic. But then, you know, when I broke down Kane, I said King Asiatic, nobody's equal.
You broke it down like that or it just came out like that?
I broke it down like that. Name Cain is superior to many people. Oh, yeah, it means King Asiatic, nobody's equal. Yeah.
What was it like recording that symphony?
Symphony? Man, amazing. Amazing. Cause I recorded Raw, and the night I recorded Raw, me and G-Rap just did a freestyle off of it. And Marley started playing it on the air, and people started requesting it. So Marley said, yo, I want y'all to do this again, but on my album. So he was like, okay, cool. So me and G-Rap was gonna do a song on Marley's album. Down the line, Marley is like, yo, I told Craig that y'all gonna do something, and Craig said he wanna be on it too. And Craig had just came out with this song called Duck Alert. And I heard, how he had elevated with his lyrical skills and everything. He was sounding so different. And, you know, killing it. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I love how Craig's sounding right now. That's cool. And then we took the pictures for the album cover. And we went back to Marley's house. I was like, let's do the song. And then Marley says, well, this is my new artist, Master Ace, you know, and I'm gonna put him on the song too. And like Ace had these big ass Woody Allen glasses on, right? And I went to the corner and I went to G-Rap and I'm like, yo, I ain't fucking with glasses, man, I'm out. I'm gonna say I'm gonna get some pizza and then I'm bouncing. And G-Rap, motherfucker, you ain't leaving me, I'm out too. So we were talking to them, they started talking about who gonna go first and who gonna go last. And they started that conversation. And we like, we getting up out of here. And then Ace just says, you know, he'll go or whatever, you know. And Ace went and we heard him. And I'll back over to G-Bap. I'm like, your glass is nice as fuck, man. Yo, I like this dude, you know?
Yeah.
And he like, yeah. Then we stayed and we made the song happen. The rest was history, yeah.
That shit literally is history, though. all that.
He had to go in there, but he probably felt it too. Like, let me just go in here and rip this shit so these niggas believe in me.
Now, Ace bodied that shit, man. Ace, let me tell you something about Ace. Ace mindset, way of thinking, his vision. I wish he would have got down with the Juice Crew back in 86 when I first started running one. I wish Ace would have got down then. I think that if Ace would have got down then, the Juice Crew would have probably lasted another 10 years. Because his mindset wasn't on just Ace being a celebrity. His mindset was on Juice Crew as a whole. He was thinking, you know, like, you know, what we could do together, who could pair up with, like, his mindset was somewhere else.
Right.
Like, you know, he was thinking like a record company executive, you know, yeah.
Man, what was your first response when you saw young ass Roxanne Shanté rocking the mic like that?
It's like, I'm hearing these songs.
Right.
And then Biz tells me he's going to Power Play to record a song with Shanté. I'm like, shit, I want to come. I want to see. And we get there. And he's beatboxing. And she's, you know, I'm Shanté in the rap. So she's rhyming. And Fly Ty, to do the owner label, he stopped her about something. Told her she didn't do this or something. I don't know what it was. To it again. So she goes again. I'm like, okay, am I tripping or that's something different? They stop her again, told her go again. And now I'm like, nah, I ain't tripping. These ain't the same rhymes. I'm like, every take she's saying something different. So I lean over to Biz, I'm like, yo, she not gonna say the shit she was saying at first. Like, Shanté don't write no rhymes. All that shit's off the head. I'm like, everything? He's like, everything. I'm like, what about the other fucking records? Like Roxanne's Revenge and, you know, all, he's like, everything. I'm sitting there blown away now, like, oh, shit. So she's just going in the studio, just off the dome, just, you know, nothing is written. He's like, nah. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I was blown away. Like, you know, like, yo, all these songs that we've been listening to all this time, she just going in.
Freestyle.
Yeah.
Man.
So rapper been not writing. But rappers been not writing, but like she really freestyling that shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know about other cats, you know. But I mean, her, yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Have a Nice Day joint that I wrote for her is her first written song. All the other hits was her just off the dome.
And so they rapping that bitch, she just rapped that shit start to finish?
Start to finish. And if she fuck up, she'll just start with a whole new rhyme.
No hold. Yes. But just as cold.
They ain't had a punch-in game back then.
No punch. I know they could. They couldn't.
Well, right? I mean, it's like punch-in for what? She don't remember what the fuck she just said a minute ago.
Right.
So she just go again from the
right.
time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Shanté.
That's hard.
Yeah, Shanté a beast,
that's
man.
Hard.
Shanté is a beast.
I ain't heard that before. That's real. That's crazy.
Let me tell you something I've seen about Shanté. This girl, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that, walking into a room and you see grown ass men. Don't want no smoke with her. Like grown ass men just get up, walk out, because you never know what she gonna do.
Right.
You know, if she pop off and decide that, no, we gonna battle right now.
I run this shit.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever had a battle that you were like, fuck me up? Did you ever have a battle where you were like, yeah, he fucked me up?
Nah. Nah.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Man, you've been all over the world. I saw a clip of you performing in Russia. How you doing over there, man?
The stinking.
The Russians fucked with you the long way over there, man.
Nah, I was over there stinking because we got there 2 days late. We got there the actual day of the show. And I had been on different flights from America to London, from London to Moscow, Moscow to Petersburg. So we just getting there and got to go straight to the venue and perform. So 2 days straight, same drawers, kept it to myself. So yeah, that's what
what's
I was.
What's your favorite spot internationally though?
Internationally, either London or Amsterdam.
Okay.
Like the energy is so crazy over there. Then also, they so deep into the history. Like all the B sides, album cuts. They know they want to hear all that shit.
You
not just
perform the whole album.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to hear all it, and they gonna sing it with you. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and they studied like everything on the back of that album cover, whatever little hip hop facts, whatever. They know that like homework, man, and they got questions. Yeah.
This would be the perfect time to bring my boy up in here.
They all knew.
Now I was watching the documentary the other night about Biz. He was a hell of a collector, so I feel like I gotta introduce you to my partner. That's a hell of a collector, the hip hop historian, none other than New Face. He got all the shit.
New Face.
All right. And I know he got some big daddy Kane questions.
Yeah.
What's up, baby?
Yeah.
What you bring tonight, Larry?
And recently this year, man, I've probably seen Kane about four times this year. I just seen you on the Rock the Bells boat. We just on that Rock the Bells boat, man. You killed it, gave those people on that boat a phenomenal show. And you was like, your leg hurt, but I'm gonna give you my...
Yeah, my leg was killing
me. Man, what the crazy dude ran on stage.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Oh, you talking about, was it London?
London.
Yeah.
Well, so what we got here is, you know, he talks about this gentleman right here. That's Kane right there. I would love for you to autograph this, but, you know,
absolutely.
Inside there we got the album there as well.
Yeah. You talking about here or on the inside?
On the label.
No, I mean on the front label or the back?
Yes,
okay.
And we also have,
Man, look at that. Top notch fine lady.
Hey, you got your car.
Oh, the MTV joints, yeah.
This brother's tape right there. You got two of these right there, because you wrote songs on there.
He brought it. Yeah, I mean, I knew you had that shit.
You talking about the infamous, one of my favorite haircuts, the photo.
You got it.
Talking about this one right there.
That's it right there.
We got it signed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the infamous album covers from it. Then you talk about the Juice Crew. So.
Yeah, that's the day we recorded the symphony.
Word.
Yeah, we took the pictures for Marley's album cover and then left and went to his crib.
And when they said glasses is cold, he was talking about the gentleman.
No, show him the glasses.
The glasses big as hell.
Ace, I'm sorry.
Now, yeah, big ass Bobby Womack.
On the glasses.
They got them big ass Bobby Womack glasses on.
And we got another. It shows the album covers as well and the set form. Your dance is on the side as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Him sleeping in the bus.
Man, what made you go with the four finger gold rings? That's some hard shit.
Oh, you know the old brass knuckles look.
Yeah.
And you're actually featured in this book. You familiar with LL Cool J's The Streets Win?
I heard about it. I haven't seen the. Remember, I have a copy.
They have this photo of him.
Wow.
Big Daddy Kane as well.
Wow. And the Jeanette Beckman joint.
My favorite album covers. This brother right here. On Rolling Stone's top 50 hip hop songs of all time, they registered this at number 25.
Hey.
What's the story behind that one?
Behind that?
Ain't no half step.
Interesting. I went to Cool V house, that's Biz DJ, and Biz had a bag of 45s on the floor. So we looking through them, and I found that Blind Alley beat from The Emotions. I'm like, you know, yo V, and he like, yo, you know, that's Biz shit, man. I'm like, come on, let's just vibe on it. So he looped it up, like the mixer that used to could sample.
Yeah.
He looped it up, and I'm rhyming. I'm like, yeah, I gotta touch this. And I'm writing to it. And then Biz calls the house, screaming, losing his mind. I found it. I found it. I finally found it. I'm telling you, we're going platinum now. I found it. I found the record I was looking for. And I'm like, he's like, yes, man. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm going platinum. I was like, so then, that means you probably don't even really care about this Blind Alley record for him. You can have that shit, man. Like, my man. And he gave me, Biz gave me the beat for Ain't No Half-Steppin'. And the beat that he had been looking for about almost 2 years that he finally found was the, you got what I need.
Just a friend. Yeah. That was a smash.
And he knew it.
Yeah. Now, he had been saying that, listen, he had been saying that when he find this, I guarantee I'm going platinum.
So wait a minute, he was really looking for the physical record.
Freddie Scott, You Got What I Need.
So he knew the song from like radio and
I think he said he saw it at Bambada House or something. I can't remember who he said, but he had been looking for it, but didn't know the name. Mm-hmm. So when he came back to the house and he's playing it, I'm like, because I remember him going to record stores, look, where he was like, yo, it's this song, the melody is like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, yo, Biz, you would be sitting there singing, no, 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 no. And then Cool V just started laughing. It's like, you know his dumb ass forgot how it goes. So for years he was singing it wrong. That's why he couldn't find it.
Damn.
You know?
So how did he eventually find it?
I don't know. Cause I mean, me and V was together. He was by himself, so I don't know how
That's
he found
crazy.
It. Yeah.
He stumbled upon that.
Yeah. We take shit for granted, bro. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, he said when he find it, he going platinum. And well, I'd be damn if he
did. Like you said, he gave you this record. What was the process in getting a record, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, generally. Or did you just be at the crib and be like, bro, I'm fucking with that. I can have that.
Well, back then, at that point in time period, you take it to Marley crib, tell him what part, you know, loop this part up here, boom, 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 you know, and I put this on, and then we, you know, go in the booth and lay the vocals.
That's crazy.
And most recently, Nas honored Scarface and Rakim, awarded them, funded them $250,000, honored them. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. I thought that was beautiful.
So if they ask Kane next year, we want to do that same thing with four MCs, who would you pick personally? If they asked you, who would you pick for next year's honorees to be?
Melly Mel, Grandmaster Caz, Kumo D, and DJ Hollywood.
I want to ask this for my own personal record. I call New Face all the time and we talk hip hop, man. Give me five old school hip hop songs to listen to. Little known, your favorites, whatever the fuck. Just give me five. Like
Kool G Rap Poison.
Okay. Keep this list, New Face.
Yeah, Kool G Rap Poison. Divine Force Holy War.
Okay.
That's where Ghost got that party, look at that body.
Okay.
Divine Force Holy War. Chubb Rock Caught Up.
Okay. Chuck Berg used to go crazy. The two of us. That was my shit. Yeah.
Nah, that Caught Up though. So the tape pop, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how many cassette tapes I popped listening to Caught Up.
Word.
His voice too, he was another with the dark voice. Like, I love like your voice, Guru had another voice, Jadakiss, Freeway, like those are like the best MCs that had that distinct voice. Like, that always helped the record.
MC Light 10% Diss.
Okay.
Yeah, MC Light 10% Diss. And, Grandmaster Caz, Get Down Grandmaster.
Okay.
When he did a solo song, yeah.
You got
to. About all that.
I thought he was gonna say some shit I ain't heard yet.
Right. Nah, that's a good list, man. I'm gonna check them all.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Your verse, man, I've seen somebody after Rock the Bell's boat, bring it up, man, with Big L. You know, how was it? How did that come about? And maybe you can just let them know, you know, speak that verse. But how did that come about, reaching out, or, you know, that being a part of that song with Big L?
I was at my lawyer's office, and he was on the phone with Primo's lawyer. And another gentleman by the name of Mike Haran, he just informed me that he was on that call as well. But they was working out legal matters with somebody else that was on the Big L album. And then my lawyer was like, y'all need to have Kane on there. And then like, well, I guess one of them said to Primo, yo, Theo said, you know, y'all need to have Kane on. And Premier was like, yo, where Kane at? He's here. Yo, tell him to come to D&D now. And I just, you know, went over there and we did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your process, man, putting these rhymes together?
It differs.
How do you get in that mode?
I mean, it differs. You know, sometimes, you know, you hear a track and it's like, okay, I can ride this like that, you know, okay. Sometimes, you know, it might be some shit that I wrote just in the crib, just chilling, and I hear a beat and it's like, you know, that what you call it, rhyme could work on here. You know, that works for me, yeah. You know, so it differs. You know, sometimes I would write to the track, and sometimes I have stuff, and then you know, I'll be like, nah, too slow. Then you hear something else, oh, yeah, it'll work on this. Boom.
The one with Conway and Busta Rhymes, how did that one come about?
Busta told me that he wanted to use the Just Rhyming with Viz joint, and, you know, flip it, you know, and he was like, you know, put your shit to it. Like, all right. So I put the verse to it, and then he hit me and was like, yo, Flex played it, Conway heard it, and he want to put a verse to it. I'm like, yo, tell dude I'm a fan, man, yeah. And then Conway put his verse to it, and we shot a video, yeah.
And lastly, the one thing I want to ask an older MC is like self-destruction. You're familiar with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Famous song, and now we live in a time where drugs and violence is at all-time high. If you were able to put like a self-destruction of this version, a generation like 2024, maybe three MCs you would want to put on there? Self-destruction 2024,
be a part of that? Definitely, for one, I would definitely want one of the Migos. You know, due to circumstances. I would definitely want one of the Migos on there. Little Baby. Kendrick. Mm. Kendrick. I think he's amazing at those type of issues when it comes to like approaching those type of, you know, yeah, Kendrick. Those would be three. Yeah.
It's hard.
Like fight the power song. Yeah, I knew it.
We all in the same game with like the West Coast version.
I think that, you know, hearing one of the Migos on a song like that would be very heartfelt. You know, and then with Little Baby, like I can't remember the song. Like my son listens to him, and it was something that he was playing.
Black and white song was digging in black and white.
I can't don't
bigger picture.
Yeah,
but it was something my son was playing with Little Baby, and like he was flowing. Like I was like, oh, I was like, dude can rhyme. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, wow, yeah. I was like, yeah.
Well, thank you. It was an honor, and I appreciate another aspect of your show, B-Boy Top, man. Just an aspect of that, because that brother was on the head just every time. I think that's like my favorite part, besides him coming to bring you the coat. But when he come and do his 1-2, and you let your DJ rock,
yeah,
man, that was monumental. Because even on that Rock the Bells cruise, EPMD had, you know, DTA, but then they brought DJ Scratch.
Yeah, I heard the dude scratching was, so what you're saying?
EPMD,
yeah, that's beautiful.
We was on there with, you know, it's the older folk, but then they like Big Daddy Kane next. I'm thinking the room was gonna empty, man. Those same people stayed in that same room and watched you, and you gave them a hell of a show, man. So just love and respect.
All right, no. Why the hell you think the room was gonna empty?
Yeah, I think the people were older.
I thought it. Hey, ain't no half step
rapping, bro. You know he ain't that shit.
That's a sucker MC, man. That's a sucker MC move, man. That's a sucker MC.
I'm messing with you, baby.
Yo, that's whack, man. You was a whack MC that time.
Hey, you see why he's sharp on the mic? Hey, shit sliding by him, man.
Cold Chillin' Records. It's a hard ass name, bro. That's gonna be one for the books. What do you think when you hear Cold Chillin' Records?
You know, I mean, that was like, you know, one of those slang words from back in the day.
Yo, I'm cold chilling.
Yeah, and do it just like that too. You ain't lying. That's exactly how we do it.
Cold chilling.
Man, I can ask you questions all day, man. This is crazy, man. Don't, hey, this got to be part one. You got to come back.
Come back, bro.
You got to come back.
Anytime, man. Anytime, man. I enjoy it.
Whenever you in or around the city, bro.
I don't Please. Give a damn if you wake up and remember some shit. Call me. Oh, yeah, and another thing. I forgot to tell you about this fucker whack MC. Well, man, it's been an honor and a privilege, man. Anything you want to leave him with before we wrap this up? Social media, anything?
Nah, man. All I want to say is that, you know, I appreciate everybody keeping hip-hop alive, and I hope you continue to do that. And please remember that, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You know, people can post their top five, their top 10, but you know, everybody's entitled to like who they want to like. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about music, having the ability to have different artists that can touch your soul, you know, and touch different emotions. You know, so I mean, I don't think there's no wrong or no right top five. It's just yours, mine, his, hers, you know? And also keep your eyes out for my hip hop documentary, Paragraphs I Manifest, which, you know, features, of course, myself, Jay-Z, J. Cole, Snoop Dogg, Common, Eminem, Lady London, Goods the Animal, A-Verb, and others.
Well, we've been watching that battle rap, huh?
Battle rap.
Huh?
We've been watching that battle rap.
Well, it's about lyrics. It's about lyrics, you know? So, we had a chance to sit and talk about battle rap today versus battle rap, you know, back in the days.
Right.
And all that stuff, you know, the difference. Yeah.
I got to see this. What's it? Where can we catch it?
We're in the editing process right now.
All right. Well, shit, when you drop it, come back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We got to get you to sign the table. Back. I know you see we got everybody who done stopped through the trap, them blessings, man. We got to find you a spot and go crazy.
Very well.
Yeah.
Man, you see.
Okay, yeah, I'm good right here.
Space, bro. Yeah, man. Oh, okay, bet.
Okay, bet. Guys, now it's official. We got nothing but legends stopping through the trap. You see the type of shows that we having over here. You ain't bringing legends through your show. Cut it out! 85 South Show. Big Daddy Kane.
Big Daddy Kane.
Bro, thank you, fam.
No, we really appreciate it, bro.
Thank you, bro.
That was fun, baby. That was fun, bro. Good time.
Young Otis!
Where?
3, 2, 1.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.